Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
Every 6 months, the hype train rolls into town, and this time it's headed straight for a bloody grey orchard. It's a bad start when you laugh at your own jokes. Yes, WWDC, dear listener, and you're here for our third Apple special, but I won't do the sound effect that we did last time. I'm joined by Macworld's deputy editor, Mr. David Price.
Hello.
Engagement editor of Macworld and PC advisor, Ashley Macro.
Hi.
And senior staff writer, all those titles, me, and staff writer, sorry, Dom, at those titles, Dom Thanks. Preston.
Hi.
Sorry, I probably should have practiced the introduction.
Nobody noticed.
No.
It was perfect.
So, we're here to talk about WWDC. Apple, for the first time in 4 years, announced hardware at that event. Normally, we only get hardware the latter end of the year. Am I right, David? But this
and
time...
And the start of the year.
Oh, yeah. All the time. Three times. Well, everything I've said is wrong, though. No one corrected my 6 months thing. Oh, we're the authority on everything Apple.
What happened 6 months ago?
I just thought they only did it twice a year, Christmas. So I said 6 months. Christmas, yeah.
Yeah.
But we're getting... Yeah,
what is like Christmas for Apple fans?
We're getting a summer special with some tasty new hardware. Am I right?
Well, there's loads of hardware.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about iPad hardware.
Okay, please do. I know you...
Primarily.
Yeah. What's special about the 10.5-inch iPad Pro?
Catchy. Well, it has a 10.5-inch screen. It's the first time Apple's done that. They're a bit weird with screen stuff because a long time ago they were all about simplicity, and they've got more and more and more fragmented.
Yep.
And I don't know if I completely like this direction. So they now sell four iPads in four different screen sizes. Goes
yep.
from 7.9, that's the mini, 9.7 is the iPad, 10.5 this new one, and they also still sell the 12.9. So in theory, that's good because you whatever size of screen you want, there is an iPad for it. But
yeah.
I think most people find that quite confusing, particularly because two of them have the same name. Two of them are called iPad Pro. Then there's the iPad and the iPad Mini. I mean, it just seems to me like quite confusing.
So the iPad Pro, they've updated the specs so that the 10.5-inch, which is new and replaces the 9.7,
yes.
iPad Pro, now has pretty much the same specs as the 12.9-inch iPad Pro.
Well, the weird way, and again, this is confusing, the way it used to work was that the 12.9 Pro was actually not as good as the 9.7-inch Pro.
Because it had been out for longer.
Yeah, so, I mean, I suppose that makes sense in a way, but they released the 12.9-inch Pro. 6 months later, they completely made it obsolete, and they just said, here's a 9.7-inch one, which is cheaper, and it has a True Tone display and a flash.
That's right,
and better
yeah.
cameras, and it was just really annoying. But now the two Pros are... essentially matching. We
okay.
don't know if they have the same amount of RAM. Nobody split it apart yet.
Okay.
Because it used to be 2 gig and 4 gig of RAM. But they have the same processor, they have the same cameras, they have they both have this, I can't remember what they called it, ProMotion, was it? The screens.
120 hertz.
Yeah, it all hurts, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Everybody hurts. Yeah, and they look really good. The 10.5 inch actually is quite interesting because the way they've got this larger screen in, so you said it was 9.7 before, now it's 10.5, is that they've made the bezels down the side thinner.
Yeah.
So it's only very fractionally larger than the 9.7-inch Pro was, but has quite a bit larger screen.
Okay.
It's a little bit longer and a little bit wider than the iPad, but it's also a lot thinner, so those two things balance each other out pretty
okay.
much perfectly. It's actually the same weight as the iPad, despite having a bigger screen.
What's the price difference?
A lot. So the it really is. Hold on, let me look at my notes. The iPad, the 9.7-inch one, the cheapest one, starts at 339, which is all right, quite manageable. This new 10.5-inch one starts at 619.
Okay.
And it goes all the way up to £1,019.
Wow.
Yeah.
I do have to stress that they have doubled the storage allocation, so it starts with 64 gig and goes up to a cool half a terabyte of storage for the top model. Which is
because your notes say 9.7, but is that 10.5?
Yes, that's 10.5.
Well done for shaming David over the audio there.
That's lovely. Note shaming.
Sorry, as long as the final
figure's correct. Yeah, it's because I cut and pasted from my old prices.
I see what he's done, listener. So we go back to the old prices, and so a new 10.5-inch iPad Pro, which replaces the 9.7-inch one, is actually being sold at
quite a bit more expensive.
Yeah, I mean, that's 70 quid more.
I suppose you should expect that.
70 quid more, but a bigger screen, better display tech, and double the storage
and
as well.
Double the storage, yeah. I mean, it's a bit of a funny one, because they got rid of the 16 gig storage allocation, which is just not enough. I still have a 16 gig iPhone 6S, and it's just a pain. You're always having to delete apps. But I think 32 is fine as an entry level.
Yeah.
You know, if you want more, absolutely 128 is nice. 256 is nice. I don't know if anybody really needs 512. I don't know. I don't know if 64
is a lot of porn, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Pro isn't really the word porn.
It's quite dissimilar. It's 25% different.
iPad porn.
Deep insights here today.
I think maybe the iPad porn would sell well initially.
I think it would. But yeah, I suppose what they're doing here is making pro, they're trying to say, like, if you're a pro guy, you can have lots of, I don't know, what do pro people have? Raw images?
Well, raw images, video projects. Ashley, you are
I was just going to say that, are they, well, yeah, digital arts, people who are doing all these big files, does this mean that they're going to start releasing much more powerful apps that have much larger file sizes? And I feel like it's, even though it's nowhere near a laptop replacement yet, there's something about this WWDC that made me feel like that's the way they're heading.
They're definitely getting closer to it.
Yeah, they're trying much harder, and like some of the things in iOS 11 that they announced, like the Files app and stuff like that, is very much...
Absolutely. And the multitasking as well.
Yeah, it feels like they're trying to make it much easier for you to use the iPad for a lot more stuff. So then in that case, maybe you will need a lot more.
But I think with this, for Apple, it's always the long game because of the way that they presented the iPad as, you know, the original marketing was very confident, wasn't it? It was laptop replacement.
Yeah.
When they suddenly realise, oh, actually, perhaps iOS can't do all the things your computer can, such as the file system. So instead of just, like, rescinding on it, they're doing a very slow building out of this product line now. And like you say, actually, the file system, they sort of, I thought, quite shamelessly in the keynote, were like that Craig Federighi was standing there basically showing you how you can click and drag files into a folder. like they just reinvented it.
Yeah, but it's still groundbreaking within that context.
Within that context, yes. It's just funny that they were kind of saying, look how we made it much better by making it more like how a laptop works, but very fiddly.
I mean, iOS made sense at the time, but it has limitations. And they seem to be forging quite a nice compromise between what you need to do in touchscreen format and what you need to do to be able to do work on a tablet. And I think you're right. iOS is really significant, actually. And the stuff that's in it, I'm quite... I said before this that I'm not particularly excited, but I actually...
I knew you would get excited.
When we talk about iOS, I am. Like the sort of app picker...
Yeah.
What do you call that? Interface.
Yeah.
Very cool. And the fact that you can have four apps running at once...
On the screen at once,
by using all the like picture-in-picture stuff and widgets and stuff.
Ashley, what else have we got going on iOS? Because there's an expanded dock for the pros now, right?
Yep. So, with the iPads, there was loads of new announcements that just are for iPad for iOS 11. So I think it's more exciting if you are planning on getting a new iPad or already have one. I think the iOS 11 update is much more exciting for those people. We've got the dock, which is customizable. It's a lot more like the dock on a Mac now. You can access
Mac's a laptop, isn't it, guys?
Or a desktop.
You can get to that from any screen as well. So, but it sounds like really boring things that should already happen.
You said it was going to be exciting.
Yeah.
Go on.
Sorry.
I was just going to say, it sounds boring, but actually these boring things are things we needed. I kind of like that they haven't tried to be all flashy and you know, add things that are unnecessary. Instead, they've had a look and thought, right, how can we actually make this easier to use for normal people who can use this every day?
Yeah, it's just productivity stuff, isn't it? It's just like day-to-day, make it a smoother, easier experience, especially if you're actually trying to work on it rather than just using it to watch Netflix or something.
Exactly. Yeah. So you've got the Files app, you've got the dock, you've got drag and drop now, which we didn't have before. They've improved.
Apparently you can use drag and drop on iPhone as well.
Yeah, I heard rumours about that. Cool. Okay.
I didn't show keynote that it was iPad only, but that one apparently is cross-device.
But you'll be able to drag, like, this also sounds ridiculous when you say it out loud, but like, an image from your Photos app, you can just drag it into an email. You couldn't do that before.
That did look really cool, but how would you do that on an iPhone without split screen?
Yeah, that's true.
I do not know. you might have been able to do all the drag and drop stuff.
No. Yeah, but some of the functionality will carry over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the keyboard, you don't have to switch between the different keyboards for accessing like symbols and numbers now. You can just like hold and swipe and stuff like that. So it's all like really simple stuff that I think is going to make a huge difference to people who actually use their iPad all the time.
Yeah, AR is quite flashy though.
And
perversely, that was the thing that excited me the least, but was the most.
Can you explain to the listener, if they didn't see it, what was happening there? The demonstration, at least, that they gave.
Yeah, so what they were doing it with, like a cup of tea or something.
A
cup of tea and a little lamp.
Yeah.
So you hold up your iPhone with this. Is it? I don't know if it's meant to be an app within the iPhone.
They're basically releasing the AR kit, aren't they, for developers? Yeah. So developers are going to be able to build in this technology into their app. So it's going to be loads of different apps that are going to be able to use AR. Even Pokemon Go, which already does use it, they're suggesting it's going to be a hell of a lot better and more realistic.
Pokemon Go is going to get better.
Yeah.
Wow. That's hard to imagine.
But it's just going to look more like the things are actually sitting on the ground and stuff like that. So it's basically more a sort of technology that they're opening up to app developers.
Yeah.
Well, they demonstrated a game.
That's what I was thinking of.
A little sci-fi thing.
It looked a bit lame.
Yeah, it did look a bit rubbish.
But basically, he was holding up the camera, and it showed presumably his little desk or whatever, but then all the characters were appearing on the screen as if they were in real life.
Yeah.
And AR has never really been something I'm interested in, because as a sort of entertainment thing, as a useful sort of holding it up and it'll tell you what the building you're in front of is, I think it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as a gaming thing, because it's not immersive, it's not actually drawing you in like VR does.
Yeah.
I think I could just keep thinking, well, I'm just looking at a screen and it's the same as any other game, and that game. Yeah.
It's very niche, isn't it? And it probably appeals to developers who want to try and produce some sort of software that hasn't been done before. I mean, the thing that they were doing with that demo, when it was kind of like, was it like a fantasy? See, like fight scene that they were doing.
Sci-fi, those spaceships coming in.
What it made me think was like, if you were really into Warhammer,
but
you don't have like $2,000 to drop on a Warhammer collection, you could play like a tabletop game if you both have an iPad, which these numbers approaching $2,000, but it would be a way to play a game like that without having to invest a lot.
There will
time
be some
effort.
Cool board game and tabletop gaming applications of AR.
Yeah. That's exactly the only thing I could think of.
I don't think it's interesting for video games, like in the traditional sense, but for like tabletop games, there could be some really cool stuff.
But yeah, like Ashley alluded to, and yourself, David, this is quite cool for people who already own these products, because it's going to be a free upgrade, but when do they get it for iOS 11?
Probably September.
Yeah.
They just say autumn, don't they?
When the iPhones come out, when the new iPhones come out. But we can get it. Well, developers can get it now. And
people willing to impersonate developers.
Yes. but it does cost $99 to sign up to the developer account. But then for free, it will be available to public users in July, we think.
Yeah,
but, the beta, you mean?
Yeah, the beta, the beta. So for testing, but I don't know, we wouldn't recommend everybody go and download it on their main phone right away, but
It will crash.
But it's going to be available to people, because they're excited. But there are a few other things that I haven't even said. Like for iPhone, redesigned App Store, which is quite a big one.
Yeah,
looks like the change. Apple Music app.
Yeah, it looks more like the Apple Music app, and it has like games, apps, and Today tabs, three different tabs.
That's a bit like, they used to do App of the Week and put that front and centre, didn't they?
Yeah, so I think it's going to be quite fun to use and a bit better for discovery.
Yeah.
So I was worried it might be worse for discovery, because it seems to put more of an emphasis on, like, one app at a time. It felt to me a bit more like it'll really narrow down to a few apps doing very well and make it harder for others to break through.
But I do feel like they're focusing on the wrong aspect of the App Store, though. The whole problem with the App Store is search.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really care which apps they show me on the homepage. There's never going to be enough, as you said, enough slots on there to show enough, even to skim the surface. But search, the problem with search is that people can keyword stuff on there. Yeah. All sorts of things that anyone that's tried to work towards Google search optimization, it's going to seem like it's 2002. The stuff you can get away with on App Store search.
It's shameless.
People are changing the name of their company to include free racing game. That works. You know, it's absurd.
Mm.
So I haven't heard anything from them about fixing search.
Well, I suppose they maybe didn't talk about that, but it's possible that it's part of the redesign. We'll have to, I suppose, see.
Yeah, we hope so. Because some of the other things that they concentrated on, which I thought was the fact they're calling the new macOS High Sierra from Sierra kind of shows you that this is a kind of a point upgrade, isn't it? Which they always are.
The leopard to snow leopard thing. Lion to mountain lion.
Yeah, exactly. And even we dropped a joke about it not meaning that they were
baked.
All the cool words.
Not half baked.
That was
very strange.
I had to cover this, and some of the things they were talking about were there's better search in photos, there's better search in mail, and they will improve the intelligence of their search systems. So perhaps it will bring itself to that.
Yeah.
So that's all about machine learning, so that it's better search for you.
But an app store, you can't improve that in the same
way,
can you?
Unless it just remembers.
They've got to be so careful, though, because they can't scale back really hardline on that, can they? Because all those developers they want to be on there, and obviously they're playing dirty, but they don't want to discourage people from developing on their platform, do they?
They make a lot of money from dirty apps, basically.
Yeah.
And that.
Yeah, so I don't know if they want to do that. But what else is new in macOS?
Well, I wrote down kind of the highlights, which are not very high.
Are you excited about autoplay videos being killed? That's great news for us, isn't it?
Great news for the digital industry. Autoplay, yeah. It has this thing called intelligent tracking prevention as well. So it's an example of Apple being more aware of the privacy of their users, and that obviously you won't block what you're looking at from you or your service provider, but it will be harder for third parties to get hold of your browsing information, basically.
So if you're looking at a board game on Amazon and then you go to a different site, you won't necessarily see that same board game popping up?
Pretty much, yes. So hopefully, the whole thing, buy a Hoover on Amazon and then they'll recommend you 5 more Hoovers or whatever.
Was it Chris that was covering it with us, and he was saying that he'd rather have better ads by them using cookies? He wanted to get targeted ads toward him.
Yeah, I'm kind of sympathetic to that. I don't mind that kind of use of cookies if it does. When it works, I mean, like, the example you give with the Hoover is a case where it obviously doesn't work, where you buy something
crude,
and then you
get
advertised. Yeah. Well, buy more of that thing. And it's like, no, I've got one. I'm fine, thanks.
Yeah, they don't understand the difference between a Hoover and a packet of coffee.
Yeah, right.
I think something I did want to ask you guys, because, I mean, obviously we've covered it extensively on macworld.co.uk, but the macOS stuff isn't going to set the world on fire. If you have Sierra, there'll probably be things day-to-day that you like, but much like a lot of the software things that we see at WWDC, they're not very headline features. Like there's a more efficient file system now.
Yeah,
that copies things a bit faster, which is will improve day to day workflow and stuff like that. But something I was thinking about Siri. They concentrated a lot about how they've improved the likeliness of the voice. It's slightly less robotic now, and it's the only one that still provides a male and a female voice. Every other major AI assistant doesn't do that.
Is that right?
Yeah. Mostly they're women. But Apple, you can pick. But one thing they didn't concentrate on was if they had improved Siri.
Yeah.
Well,
I find Siri quite good.
They did talk about that they've improved Siri in iOS 11, so I'm assuming that they're going to apply all of that to macOS as well. But they didn't really talk about it that much, did they? Because they said it was going to be smarter now and it can translate things now and all that stuff. So I'm assuming that they apply that to macOS as
I'd
well.
I'd hope so. I've got Google Home and it's not as good as everyone imagines it is. It still does struggle in the same areas that I find Siri also struggles. But I think the thing that Apple is trying to crack, which Google is improving on, is the conversational thing, the contextual conversation that you can have with a digital assistant. Because am I right in saying that if you ask Siri something, say about the weather or whatever, you can't then ask it something contextual. You can say, yeah, what's like, the weather like
and
tomorrow?
And what about tomorrow?
Yeah, maybe, yeah, you have to re-ask it.
I don't know.
Yeah, they didn't really talk about that, did they? They did say it was going to be smarter, but mostly for if you're looking at something in Safari or on a news page, it will remember that you've just looked at that thing, and then when you go to messages, maybe you want to message about that thing to the person. Like, instead of contextual in terms of what you've just asked, it's looking at what you've been doing on your computer or your phone.
I suppose also it depends who Apple's opened up to in terms of developers for what the app can even
yeah.
do.
Yeah, I suppose
right?
so.
Because
yeah.
you could probably do stuff like order an Uber or what have you, but you can't get it to do something on an app that's smaller than Uber, basically. Like, yeah. like I don't know, the National Rail app, it wouldn't mind that app for information, would it? Because it's not linked to Siri. It would just Google it.
Yeah, it'd probably say, I'll just search the web for that. Yeah.
Is there anything else software-wise that you got excited about? David loves watches. You love the watch.
I'm so excited about watchOS.
It's probably something Siri-related that you're excited about as well, right?
Yeah, we could talk about that first. There's a few things, actually. I thought watchOS 4 looks really, really good.
Is it because you can have Buzz Lightyear now? Well, Buzz Lightyear watch face.
Okay, so there's new watch faces.
That's cool. That's not
and some of the well, no, this is what I'm going to say is that some of the watch faces are superficial. There is Toy Story characters, and they have new animations, blah blah blah. And there's a kaleidoscope face, which you can sort of turn the dial, and it changes form and stuff, and it looks fine. But another new watch face is called the Siri face. And this, it makes it look like the notification center in iOS. Mm-hmm. So it has these notifications and app shortcuts and stuff like that. And it's supposed to adapt what ones of those there are on your watch face, depending on what you've been doing lately and what time of day it is and things like that.
Like Google Now cards.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. But this is new to Apple.
I was surprised they didn't.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Show that on iPhone because I switched between Android and Apple, and I wasn't really ribbing it there. But Google Now cards do have their flaws, but they will present you with information depending on your location, time of day, world events, things like that.
But yeah, so I mean, Apple does do this in iOS already as of iOS 10. They called it proactive, and then they seem to get rid of that brand for some reason. But it is new to the watch, and obviously, it's something we need to test out. But I was trying to think of the practicalities of it, and because they were saying, well, you know, you want different things on your watch in the morning to the evening.
Yeah.
They already have a function for that where you can swipe very easily between different watch faces, each of which can be customized. And I never do that because I don't know if I'm an unusually focused Apple Watch user, but I just have certain metrics I need on my watch face.
Yeah.
Other than aesthetics, I was thinking maybe, you know, I was borrowing a sort of fancy Apple Watch strap for a while, and if I'd want to have like a red face to match that, I might swipe to that. But
so what you're saying is that you don't really want to be someone who has to swap between watch faces. You want the same one the whole time.
Yeah, well,
I agree.
I can't even particularly see that the Siri face would be an appealing thing for me, but maybe it's one of those things you have to use.
You know?
I mean, I only use about four apps on my Apple Watch. I use them very heavily.
Yeah.
And I do think it's a good product. But I haven't got really into the app ecosystem the way that I have with the iPhone and the iPad.
Well, I don't blame you, because they're rubbish. Largely rubbish.
They do seem to have changed the design language in WatchOS 4, which is quite interesting. They've basically switched from horizontal scrolling as a default to vertical scrolling.
Yep.
Which makes sense, because they have the dial.
That makes much more sense, yeah.
But it's interesting.
Like Google.
Well, yes,
Android Wear 2 is a vertical scroll.
So on, like, nice. On a landscape screen, it makes sense to have horizontal scrolling.
Yeah, the menu portrait. The menu that you get when you press the watch button on WatchOS 3, it doesn't make sense to go sideways, because you have to swipe with your finger, but when you have that crown, you might as well go vertically.
Or right, you can use your finger as well.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a strange product, the Apple Watch, still, because it has so many multiple input techniques.
Yeah.
You can always tap and scroll, but you also have these two hardware buttons that you can sort of get away with not using. And the dial in WatchOS 3 and earlier didn't really get used very much.
Yeah.
Now it's going to be more of a fundamental interface thing. I said I only use like four apps. Two of those are workout and activity. They're changing quite a bit.
Yeah.
There are some new interesting things.
You love closing
that.
Your rings, don't you?
You always say this. I don't think that's actually an
innuendo. It's not really. It's just an unfortunate choice of words, I think.
So they've got something I've been really, really keen for them to do is they've got data transfer in real time with treadmills. Another fitness
compatible treadmills.
Which is that's going to be the issue for a while. But the fact they've started this process, now people are all going to start getting that built in.
Yeah. Everyone at the gym has an iPhone, so it's just a matter of time.
Because that's always really annoying me. Because I as you said, I love to close my rings, and I think they're very important.
Very important rings.
They are. And whenever I go on the treadmill, I'm primarily a treadmill runner, really.
Yeah.
It's wildly inaccurate, of course, because you're just, you know, jumping up and down, essentially. As far as the watch is concerned, it doesn't realise that you're on a treadmill. But you have this accurate metric right in front of you. Why not access that? So that's good. And they've also brought in high-intensity interval training, which I like as well. So that's, you know, a few nice things coming in WatchOS 4.
Because Ashley Macro famously rubbished the first-gen Apple Watch.
I did, because it was rubbish.
Savaged on Macworld.
Before it got the first update.
In a clickbait article.
Yeah.
It wasn't clickbait. It was just my opinion. It was my true opinion.
But, I mean, aside from having not really used one since then, do any of the updates, aside from Toy Story, excite you?
Well, as soon as WatchOS 2 came out, it was like a million times better. So I wrote that very early on. Yeah. So I think I haven't used one since, but I think I would probably enjoy it a lot more than I did then.
The Series 2 is a huge jump forward from the first gen Apple Watch.
Yeah.
And as you said, WatchOS 2, 3 and now 4 have also been really, really significant updates.
Yeah.
That have made it a lot faster and much easier to use, which is just, I think it's a really, really good platform now. Really good product.
Yeah.
And tvOS has Amazon now. So that's what happened there. So just before we move on to the final thing that Dominic covered, there is something that was kind of floating around as a rumor, but never leaked, didn't really get talked about much before. But Apple has announced the iMac Pro, which is not an update to the old trash can, which apparently is coming next year. But earlier in the year, Apple did that strange thing where they invited a few select US journalists to Apple campus and basically told them, chill out, we got it a bit wrong, which was very weird of Apple. But this seems to be what they've worked on first, which is the first ever space grey iMac, which is pretty cool. So it's available in December.
That's the worst swear word you've ever done on the podcast.
Is it?
I don't think we've ever... We flirted around that word.
Chris can edit me. It's also pretty damned expensive. It will be $5,000.
That's
a starting price. Price.
Base
so
model.
I wrote down a lot of words that I don't really understand. so that price will be for the product that has 8 cores, basically. And it also has 10 core, but it goes up to 18, which is insane.
How many cores do I need, Henry?
Probably just the one. Yeah. they have Intel Xeon processors. It's just a crazy machine. With up to 128 gigabytes of RAM.
Yeah.
And this is
just stupid.
And this is coming below the Mac Pro. So they're gonna have an they've got the iMac that's out now, the iMac Pro, which is coming out in December, and then beyond that there will be the Mac Pro that comes out next year.
Yeah. But the Mac Pro is a bit more customizable, isn't it? And also it doesn't have the iMac Pro is still an all-in-one.
Yeah.
Right. So
which is which is still nuts.
Yeah, which makes it even more crazy. But so that's the difference between them.
What kind of specs are they going to put in the Mac Pro if this is what they're putting in an iMac Pro?
Yeah.
I don't know. Would you imagine that they have to price the Mac Pro cheaper, right?
Do you think the Mac Pro would be cheaper than the iMac?
I don't really.
I mean, you lose the screen, but equally it depends if they're aiming to make it higher spec to compensate. So it could go either way. Yeah.
So that happened. We'll probably never get to use one. Not that we would need to. Some guys in the office might need it for video editing purposes. So,
yeah, I think I'll probably need one to write some articles.
Yeah,
that space grey magic keyboard.
Oh yeah,
that'd be pretty slick. Can't even buy it in silver. You have to get it dark. So it's like, you know, when they bring out a new iPhone color, like everyone in the WeWork space will know that you've got the new iMac Pro.
Yeah.
But, yes, touched on it earlier when we started talking about Google Home, but, there is an Apple speaker, and it's not called Siri speaker. Dom, what's it called?
HomePod.
How do we feel about HomePod as a brand?
Great.
Yeah. So, obviously iPod, right?
Yeah.
And then you got AirPods, which were so called because they came with an iPod.
Yeah.
And now you have AirPods.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. So, why return to HomePod?
It's the same. It's a continuation of the brand, combining it with the Home app and the HomeKit API. Those are two Apple brands: Home, Pod.
It makes sense because they're pushing the music side of it, but it's just
the music side of things.
It's an ugly name.
I don't know.
A really ugly name.
I don't think it's got understand the best ring to it.
I was looking on Slack as we were doing this, and you were all going on about how ugly it was and how ugly it.
No, I think the product is cool. I think it's great.
I think it sounds really like. Boring and homey, like obviously home, but like, you know, just not cool.
It doesn't conjure sleek or cool. No. It conjures clunky and
like something that an old person
like compared
have.
To Google Home, Amazon Echo, Apple HomePod. HomePod.
Yeah. It just never sounds. Right.
What's the Google one again? It's
Google Home.
Google Home.
Just home.
So why is that? It's simple. HomePod.
Because they
home.
Yeah, you know.
Should have done it quicker.
Yeah,
but anyway, it's $350 and not out yet.
No, December is when it's going to...
But like you said, Dom, it's concentrating more on the music side of things.
So. Yeah, they made a really big push, which I guess is their way of differentiating it and kind of justifying the fact that it costs more than double Google's equivalent and just about double Amazon's. So their big push is that they were just talking about it as a music device. They started off just basically saying, comparing it to a Sonos speaker and just talking about it as the best music speaker you can buy. And sort of saying it'll be amazing sound quality, you know, sort of got custom designed subwoofer and 6 tweeters and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, great sound stuff. It's got it's got sort of spatial awareness. It will sort of scan the room that it's in and adjust its sound accordingly.
Yeah.
It'll also do that if there are two of them. They'll work together to scan the room appropriately and adjust to take account of the fact there's another speaker in the room.
Okay.
If anyone actually invests in two of the things. And then talking up sort of the deep integration with Apple Music, which is the first sort of time they even really talked about the fact that it would be smart, which is just talking about how Siri will work nicely with Apple Music to do lots of, obviously, you know, play the Beatles or whatever, but also sort of play me more music like this. And who was the drummer on this song?
Okay.
And stuff like
that. Stuff that Google Home can't do. Like at the moment, if you're on... Well, it can do it if you're in an app that it's connected to. So like if you're listening to Spotify, you can ask it what it is. But you look at your phone. And then, but if you've got, say, like the radio on and you say, okay, Google, what track is this? It'll be like, you're listening to BBC Six Music.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't know that yet.
But it's not clear if the HomePod will be any better for that because they were talking it up as in relation to the Apple Music app.
Yeah.
It wasn't totally obvious,
enough,
I didn't
like,
think, from the... Yeah, which makes sense.
It can't do miracles.
But, you know, it wasn't obvious how well it will work with other music apps, with radio, with stuff like that.
Did they do a demo of it on stage?
No.
Because it was available afterwards for press. But I did note that it was the one piece of hardware they didn't demo on stage.
They didn't demo on stage.
Well,
they just
they
had a nice
iMac
video.
Pro either, did they?
But the thing is, you can't really demo a product whose whole selling point is its audio quality, because...
Yeah.
People are listening to the...
More of the smart function.
Yeah, like what can it actually do? I still feel like I don't really know. I don't think that they talked about it that well. It's going to be a case of sort of discovering it.
Yeah, because again, I think the point is they're really pushing the sound quality.
Yeah.
There was no attempt to claim it was any smarter than Echo or Home.
Siri isn't as smart.
Because it's not. But you know, that was like the smartness was an afterthought. It was the last thing they mentioned. It was kind of, this is an amazing, amazing, amazing music speaker. Oh, and it's got Siri on. It's kind of smart. Yeah.
But I still think, even though I want to hate on it and I don't like the name, it will sell so many.
Oh, it will. It will do well.
And because people buy Sonos. I kit the house out with thousands of pounds worth of sound equipment. This is going to be in so many stockings and stuff.
Like, the only thing I find funny is that the sort of people who care that much about sound quality will already have an amazing sound system. Yeah. So many. Yeah. And but for £50, you can get an Echo Dot and plug it in to your speakers.
But I still think that people who do care about sound and have disposable income probably are going to own an iPhone and are probably going to go, I love sound, and there's no speaker in my...
I love sound.
I love sound. There's no speaker in
my... I love detecting sound with my ear.
In my room, my iPhone stays in my room at night. I'll put one in my room.
Yeah.
So like, I think it's very clever. And also, it's just, it is good for Siri, I think, because it's another piece of hardware that is new to Apple that they've given to developers to play with.
Yeah.
Which is the way that they have to improve their...
They're getting really good about opening up all their APIs.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's a big thing about Apple just keeping people in the ecosystem. I think, especially given how relatively late to market they are for a smart speaker, you know, the Echo's been out for ages now.
Mm-hmm.
And this won't be till December, by which point, you know, both Echo and Home would have been out for quite a long time. And but, I guess they've just been looking and thinking about how many iPhone owners might be buying an Echo and or a Google Home and getting into those app ecosystems. And this is about saying, no, here's the one that runs all your Apple apps. Mm. Stay with us.
I think they're laughing. I think it's quite cool. And the fact that they've like let Google put Google, like, oh, yeah, we can have Google Assistant on iPhone now. But then Apple is just going to come back and say, well, here's one. Here's a better version of that thing that you won't really work properly with your Google Home. And it's got way better sound quality because we have a Google Home. And when you do turn up the music, it doesn't sound great. It's like it's acceptable and it's quite loud.
Yeah.
But it's not like premium audio quality. And yeah, it can look up some recipes and stuff. But
I think maybe the market is still at the point where they care more about audio quality than the smart features. The smart features,
it's because that's what they can nail. That's why, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. But that is still, I think, quite a gimmicky thing that people like. Yeah, they like the idea of being able to say, "Can you order me a kettle?"
Yeah.
But
well, Amazon's got that down.
Yeah.
But with the Google, I'm sitting at home, and even when I'm there on my own, I feel weird talking to it. I know.
Are you frequently sitting there on your own talking to your speaker?
I get home before my housemates, but like, yeah, you say, okay, Google, set a timer for 35 minutes, and it's just a bit weird.
Yeah.
Does
anybody else think it was a bit tacky the way they did the pricing thing?
Oh, that was absolutely awful.
Showing the prices of other things.
Adding up a Sonos and an Echo and being like, that would be...
$300?
Yeah.
Wait, there's more.
It was like an infomercial.
It was.
As seen on TV prices.
Exactly. I didn't like that.
Especially because it's totally misleading to just add up a Sonos and an Echo and say, that would be this much. You know, that's... Yeah. It's nonsense.
So what was the best thing to come out of WWDC, David?
WatchOS 4.
WatchOS 4, strong.
Real-time data transfer on WatchOS 4. Very excited.
It's the nerdiest thing I've
heard
today.
As soon as the gym I go to gets it in 2023, it'll be great.
What about you, Ashley?
I think the iMac Pro is exciting.
Yeah.
Not that I will buy it, but yeah.
Dom?
Yeah, iMac Pro as well. I'm not really a big Apple guy generally, so you know, I wasn't that excited by many of the things on display, but that was the only thing that made me immediately stop and go, oh, I want that. And I'll never be able to own one. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah. Is it because it's
nowhere near anything I'll afford or, you know, need to use? But it just made me go, that's mental. It looks great and the specs are absolutely absurd.
So we're hoping to get hands on some of the hardware when Apple lets us have it. The iPad Pro will definitely be one that people listening to this will consider, I imagine, as a purchase. But as Ashley says, iOS 11 is only a few months away. So if you've got an iPad Pro at the moment, do you need to upgrade?
I wouldn't upgrade from an iPad Pro 9.7 inch unless you desperately need an even more powerful device. But
yeah,
you know, it's a slightly bigger screen, better camera. You know, it's a bit better. It's like with most things with iPad, you should upgrade it probably every 2 years, if that. If you're on like an iPad Air 1 or something, now is a good time to update.
My iPad's older than that.
Which one have you got?
iPad 4, the first one with Retina display. The one before, wasn't it?
The Retina's been around for a while.
It's the one before the iPad Air 1. And
that's,
I was
that used, is the 4.
That was the device that I use to watch the keynote on. And then halfway through, I told Dom, I'll screenshot this and then I'll send you some pics. And then she struggled. Coming out of that app, oh man, it took ages. But I've had that for like 4 years and it's just about okay still.
People don't really need much from iPads. That's the problem with adoption. Once everybody had an iPad, they don't really need to upgrade.
And you still have to buy the pencil and the keyboard separately.
You don't have to buy the pencil. Do you need a pencil?
You need the keyboard.
If
you buy an iPad Pro and you don't buy the keyboard or the pencil, you haven't gained anything apart from speed.
Well, yeah. There are third party keyboards available.
There are, but they still cost the same, like £100.
Less.
I'm not having a go at Apple, I'm just saying they should put it in the box.
You know, I feel like you're having a go, you know.
So. I just feel like if you have an iPad, if you wanted an iPad Pro 10.5 inch, why would you buy that if you didn't need the keyboard or pencil? Why would you not save £300? And buy the
iPad.
Like
taking photographs at concerts with an enormous iPad. Getting yeah, all right, get the pencil.
Cool. Will you?
No.
Oh.
Maybe.
I saw they even mentioned that you can buy a little holster for the pencil now. A little leather holster.
We were talking about this, weren't we? We think they should do a case for the pencil that charges it.
Yeah. Because like the way that you charge it is still a bit weird. Hey,
whenever I use the Apple Pencil, it's always run out of battery. So then the first 10 minutes when I'm supposed to be drawing pictures of my son on the iPad is actually him going, Daddy, why is there no battery in the pencil? Even though it has quick charging.
Your son has a great voice. anything to add, Ashley?
I don't think so. I mean, there's still loads more in iOS, but... I don't think we need to talk about it at all.
No.
There's too much.
Nothing that jumps out that iPhone users will be excited about.
New live photos effects.
Oh, you can loop the bit of the live photo that you want, right? Yeah. Or set it as the main
bit
image.
Like Boomerang. Yeah. Then there's new... Oh, Apple Pay.
Yeah,
you can do peer-to-peer.
That's quite cool.
Oh, yeah, payments that's pretty cool. Now. Apple Pay Cash, yeah.
That's quite cool, actually.
And that'll be a like way less messy than the Google alternative. Yeah. Or the Facebook alternative. It'll be really good.
The control center got redesigned and you can customize it a little bit now and it's all on one page.
Yep.
The lock screen and notifications are the same thing now, so they're just combined.
Yeah, the control center, the nerd in me was happy that it's added, along with the Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. It's also added a mobile data toggle on and off like that.
Yeah, and you can press and hold
just
and see
what that icon was. That's mobile data.
I think so.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah, it's a little telephone mask.
It did annoy me that they, because the control center used to be one page and they really unnecessarily made it two pages.
Yeah. To go to music control.
I know, and whenever you tried to swipe the brightness on the control center, it always swiped to the music page.
Mm.
Really annoying.
I find that very buggy as well when I pause my music sometimes and then go back to the swipe on the right, it's just not there anymore.
Yeah.
And you have to go back in the app to open it. So work on that, developers.
yeah, I think that's all.
Cool. Well, that's it, listener. Let us know.
Dominic got a chance to say his last little bit.
What, do you have another bit?
I don't have another bit. Do I? Should I have another bit?
Little bits. I thought,
oh, sorry.
I thought he should get
no,
a
I wasn't. I wasn't. It just happened naturally. Sorry, I didn't leave you on.
I think the HomePod is really, really ugly. That's my last bit.
I
know that's a minority opinion. Other people seem to like it.
I'm not sure it is. Though. Quite a few people on here were saying it was ugly.
I think it's really fat. I don't want a fat shame, but it looks really fat.
I was going to fit all those, what did you call them, twitters in there?
Tweeters.
Tweeters and woofers and boomers and sounders. I quite like it. I think it looks all right. I think it looks more premium than the Echo. Because in person, the Echo it doesn't look great.
Yeah, the Echo's not great looking.
I love the design of the Google Home.
I think Google Home looks great.
It's quite cool.
That's probably the nicest looking one, but this is pretty good, in my opinion.
I think the Siri bit on the top looks nice.
They've changed the Siri logo as well, you see. It used to be like a calm wave. Now it's like an electric storm.
Yeah, that.
I didn't know.
Colourful blob.
Yeah, they've changed the icon. Changed the icon. Watch out for that. Fellow nerds.
Okay.
Cool. Thanks a lot for listening. That was the first time on the Tech Weekly pod that we have ever done one topic. With
absolutely
no breaks.
Absolutely relentless.
A relentless, 42 minutes.
And now we can't cut anything out because you've said 42 minutes.
And I swore and I mucked up the start. So if anyone got this far, thank you. We love you. Thanks for listening. I didn't even do it around the room. WWDC or WWD... P.
What does the P stand for?
Is it piss?
I say WWD great.
Oh no.
Ashley, did you like it?
It was great.
Yeah, Dom.
WWDP.
Oh,
I guess.
He's pissed all over the home pod. This isn't suitable for kids, is it?
Not really.
No. It's fine, children don't listen to this podcast. Thanks a lot for listening, everyone. We'll be back next week with a more family-friendly edition where we will even have some breaks and we might talk sense. But thanks for my guests, David Price, Ashley Macrow, and Dominic Preston. See you next week.
Bye.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.